listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. Earlier this year, we launched something called Homegrown, a book club about the San Joaquin Valley. Our second book is titled What You See in the Dark, a novel by Dinuba native Manuel Munoz. And in our next segment, FM89's Rebecca Plevin talks with Munoz about the novel, his love for movies, and how the Valley inspires his creative work.
What You See in the Dark follows a director and actress who arrive in Bakersfield in the late 1950s to film a movie at a motel along the old Highway 99. Meanwhile, a love affair between the motel owner's son and a Mexican-American woman becomes dramatic and deadly. The story is tied to Alfred Hitchcock's 1960 film Psycho, which includes brief scenes filmed along the 99 between Bakersfield and Fresno. Well, Manuel, thank you for joining us this morning. So for our public radio book club, Homegrown, we read books about the Central Valley, and you're a Valley native from Dinuba. Could you tell me a little bit about your background?
Well, I was born and raised in Dinuba. I left in 1990. I went to Harvard. I was one of those full scholarship kids, and I was the baby of the family. I am the baby of the family. And I went out to the East Coast and stayed out there for 18 years before I came back west. So now I'm in Tucson, Arizona, where I'm a professor at the university there.
Wow, so you've been gone from the Valley a long time.
Yes, I have. You know, so I write really from memory and from nostalgia. I never lived anywhere else. It was 18 years in Dinuba, in that little town, in the same house. So everything comes from memory.
That's amazing, because I know that you have two collections of short stories that are also set in the Central Valley. And so I did want to ask you how the region inspires your writing.
Well, I think what I've learned to do over time has been to think of the Valley as a metaphor. You know, for me, it's always been a place that provokes reaction in people. And for me, it was always about leaving. And that's why I can look at the mountains and see the mountains as walls. You know, it's a sense of an entrapment. As much as I love the Valley, it also, you know, provokes and it always provoked a feeling of needing to get out of it, and always roping me back in because of family. As I mentioned earlier, I'm the baby of five. So I have lots of reasons to go back and be confronted by, you know, some of my old feelings. And that's really good material for writing.
Your novel, What You See in the Dark, is based around the filming of the movie Psycho in Bakersfield. And so I had two questions. Is it commonly known that a few scenes of the movie were shot here?
I don't think so. I have I should clarify, you know, the two scenes that you're referring to, they're backdrop scenes when Janet Leigh is driving the car and along the highway, and she's going towards the Bates Motel. And it's just filler. You know, it's the old Highway 99. Psycho was actually filmed on a Universal lot in Los Angeles. But the film's geography is, I think, I would argue that it's past Bakersfield and into, you know, what people think of as California's backwater, right? If it's not Los Angeles or San Francisco, it's some other, you know, some other place that's a big mystery to them. So no, I don't think people ever think of the geography as being the Central Valley.
How did you learn about that? And how did you take that tidbit of knowledge and weave it into this deeper story?
Well, for anybody who's familiar with the film, and if you haven't seen the film, you should be on the lookout for the moment when Janet Leigh's character, Marion Crane, is leaving Phoenix, and she gets stopped by a police officer. And when the police officer is finished with his interrogation, she's driving along the road and the camera cuts to a sign for Gorman. And I've said often, you know, people around the nation will just see it as another name. But everybody in the Valley knows that Gorman means you're crossing that mountain pass either to or from Los Angeles. So it places her geographically. And if you follow where that character is going, and the amount of time that she's taking to get there, you're thinking, wait a minute, this might be Bakersfield. This might be Tulare. This might be Delano. And it makes a lot of sense in terms of where the movie ends up.
The novel takes place in Bakersfield in the 1950s and 60s, and you touch on some local issues in the story. You know, you talk about the impending construction of Highway 99 and its impact on Arlene Watson, who owns a motel along the old highway. What sort of research did you do to capture and recreate the feeling of that time?
Well, when I've been invited to college campuses to talk about this, I say, you know, we're sort of lucky in the Valley when we think about the ways in which, you know, modern improvements have sometimes been slow to reach us. We get things, you know, 5 years or 10 years after, you know, they've reached the big cities. What that also does is that it leaves our history intact. You know, I remember, and there's still, you know, there are still these really lovely stretches of the old Highway 99 where you can drive along and see, you know, storefronts. You know, you can see sort of the mapped out feel of what the old part of the city was like, whether it's Fresno. There's a really lovely section around Selma that I remember from, you know, my very, very early childhood. We would use that road to get to Fresno. That just sort of gives you, if you have the imagination for it, a picture of what the town might have felt like, you know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. And, you know, so many spaces where you can still physically walk into, you know, some of these old stores, for example, these old storefronts with the, you know, the beautiful windows or the old wood floors. And all of those sorts of things that play up in a writer's imagination when it comes to sensory details, they're available for us to feel, to touch, to hear. In a way, for example, that photographs don't really, you know, lend us that magic. So that's how I did a lot of it, was just, you know, taking little drives. When I went home to visit my family, I'd drive along the old two-lane roads and look. And, you know, you could very easily transport yourself back to, you know, several decades in places of our valley.
And another question about the city of Bakersfield. So in the novel, you paint Bakersfield as a very small town where everyone knows each other's secrets. Mm-hmm. And there are several comparisons between Bakersfield and the glitz of Los Angeles and its worldliness and Hollywood. What role do you see the city playing in the book?
The city's the place of magic and fantasy and dream and reinvention, you know. And it's reinvention in a funny way, because when you think about our attraction to movie stars in their lives, you know, in some ways, what we're guilty of is making up stories about them. You know, we think we know who they are, and we're getting all of that information from pictures and, you know, what so-and-so wore to the big premiere or the big breakup and the rumor around, you know, who so-and-so has been dating. And all of that sort of contributes to a sense of, I think, of gossip that's very much like what happens in small towns, except that we know each other. we all know each other, and there are other intimacies that are available to us as you know, people who grew up or still live in small towns. But you know, I just find the parallel very, very easy to make. You know, that's part of the glamour, I think, of Hollywood and films, is that it invites us to, you know, to take part in that kind of fantasy, to invent something about the lives of other people.
And did you see Bakersfield playing any role in the book?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, for me, it's always been, you know, again, going back to feeling like places become metaphors for me. You know, that's the last stop. If you're driving on to Los Angeles and you're about to, you know, make that climb into the mountains on the I-5, you know, you stop in Bakersfield. It's sort of the last point. Or if you're coming back, pack from LA or from Southern California, it's your first real taste of the valley. So that's why, you know, it became important for me to think about that city, because normally I never named Dinuba in my short stories, but that's where the stories are set. They'll reference Selma or they'll reference Kingsburg or Fresno sometimes, but it's really Dinuba. So even just, you know, deciding to make Bakersfield, you know, the area for this book almost felt like a departure, which feels a little strange to me to think, you know, one town 90 minutes away from Dinuba is a departure, but it was. It was.
Right. And probably from the way you grew up, I mean, Bakersfield probably did seem a long way away, right?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, Fresno felt like a long way away.
Right.
That was a big trip.
Yeah. So the novel touches on race relations in Bakersfield during that time. The most handsome man in town is Dan Watson, and he dates a young Mexican woman, Teresa. And her other admirer is Chano, a day laborer. Could you talk about how race plays into the novel?
Well, you know, one of the interesting things that I began to discover just from talking to people, you know, about, you know, what was Valley life like in the 50s, in the 60s, the answers always varied depending on whom I asked. You know, some people saw very stark divisions between a white community, a Mexican-American community, you know, lots of different communities. There were always very, very big divisions, depending on the story they were willing to tell you. But a couple of things that people said to me really caught my attention. You know, they said, you know, you have to remember that no matter what the social constructions are, people are always breaking boundaries. It might ruffle some feathers, but people are always breaking boundaries. And, you know, there are always people who see both pros and cons to doing that. I think that's why, you know, a very small secondary character in this book is the owner of the shoe store who employs Teresa, which, you know, I thought at first, I thought, well, you know, would this actually happen? You know, but as people from that time period also told me, it's like, you know, some people were smart about saying, look, we've got various communities and constituencies here. So, yeah, it might be a wise thing to have somebody who's Spanish speaking because you want that business. You know, there are always people who are looking outside of the box. So I knew that these were things that I wanted to touch on, but I didn't want to, you know, draw them in any kind of, you know, ways that we just typically perceive them to be. Those lines are always blurring. And even when we look back at history, they blurred far more than we give them credit for.
And that actually leads me to one of my other questions. I am interested to hear what you're working on now. And is it also focused on the Valley?
Yeah, it is. I mean, that remains my artistic commitment. I mean, it was where I was born and raised. My family is there. My roots are there. And I have not failed yet to find, you know, some kind of new niche or some sort of new way to think about what has happened in the place that I've grown up and the changes that it has encountered. I'm working on a collection of stories now which seem, I can't really say for sure, but they seem to be taking place in the late 1970s, early 1980s, about the time, coincidentally, where I was about 8 or 10 years old. So you can sense that these are probably all coming from nostalgia. But for me, you know, I'm thinking about two big issues. Immigration as it sort of played itself out before the immigration acts of the mid-1980s. And also, it's the era that's pre-AIDS, and you know how that might have affected families and family communities, and that's just been, it's something that I'm seeing bubbling up in a couple of the stories that I'm working on.
You mentioned you have an artistic commitment. Could you expand on that a little bit?
You know, it's odd to me that we're a region that contributes so much, but in, you know, that doesn't get any real recognition for its important place, not only, you know, in the nation, but in just in California. I remember, for example, I think I must have been 10 when the miniseries Fresno came out. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Carol Burnett, Dabney Coleman, Terry Garr. It was a CBS thing, and it was a big deal, I remember, when we were 9 or 10 years old. But looking back at that now, I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe this region to the rest of the state, you know, is a joke. It's the place to avoid. But it's the place I love. It's the place where I grew up. And the lives of the people who live there are very important to me. So that's what I mean by the artistic commitment. I you know, every time an artist contributes one more piece of the puzzle, one more point on the map, it helps shape what people might perceive of that area, that geography, and those lives.
Manuel Munoz, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today about your book, What You See in the Dark.
Likewise, Rebecca. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.